Okay, so we are on Mem Dalid on the days. We're going to take it from the very top of the page, very first word.
Well, which
Mem Dalid.
Amud.
Mem Dalid, Amud Bet. And we're going to go to the end of the park. Okay, so very exciting. We're going to make a scene tonight. And our learning tonight should be L'zecher Nishmas and Aliyah for the Neshama of Avram ben Yosef Halevi. okay, so let's get started. So the Gemara says at the very top, Amar Yitzchak bar Avdimi Mishum Ravini. This is, we had finished this last time, but let's just pick up from here. It says Alabeya v'al mine kufra on an egg or on different types of meat. The tchilim avar shakel, you make it in the beginning a shakel near bivaro. Levitov burying the fashos rabos. At the end, you make the burying the fashos bracha. Acha yerek, but according to this opinion, if you only eat vegetables, that's not a real meal. No, you don't make the bracha chona. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, afilu yarka. If you eat vegetables, that too should get a brain of fashos rabos afterwards. Avamayalo. But if you only drink water, then you don't make a brain of fashos rabos. For you, yeah. So you don't have to make the brain of fashos in that case. We're starting at the very, very top of Mem Dalid on the base. Yep, we're going to take it to the end. So again, and the two opinions. First opinion is that it has to be a substantial eating, like eggs or meat. Second opinion, even vegetables get a brain of fashos. But not water. Very top. No, Mem Dalid on the base. Yeah. Okay. We had started this last time, but I'm kind of backing up a little bit. And Rapapa, the third opinion, which is what we follow, is that Afilu Maya. Even for water, if you drink water, you make a bracha rishona, shahakla, you make a bracha achrona, brain of fashos rabos. Marzutra avid to Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, or Marzutra actually followed the opinion of Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, who was more strict. Rav Simi bar Ashi avid to Rav Yitzchak, he followed the middle opinion, like Rav Yitzchak, that he ate for meat or vegetables, eggs, meat, vegetables. V'simanach, chai ki trevi trei chachad. If you're trying to remember who held like what, it's the guy who has one name in his name, who held like the guy who has two names in his name. Marzutra, he's got one name. He held like Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, whose name also contains his father's name. And Rav Simi bar Rashi, he's got two names. Okay, he held like Rav Yitzchak, he's got one name. It's a way to remember, right? Not mnemonic, but some kind of
remember what?
To remember who follows what shita.
Oh.
Okay, that's the idea. Okay, anyhow, so Amar Rav Ashi says though, Ana zimna dechamitchina. Whenever I remember, I try and follow all opinions. Me, I even try and make a bracha achrona, a brain of fashos on water, which is the halacha that we follow nowadays. Okay, it's continued. It's none. It says the following in the brisa: Kol hatshaton bracha la'achrona, tam bracha lefanav. Anything needs a bracha before, it needs also a bracha afterwards. The yeshaton bracha lefanav, the ain tam bracha lefanav. And there are some things that do not require a bracha afterwards, only a bracha before. The Gemara says, well, what could that be referring to? Bishlom Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi lafu ki yarka. According to the first opinion we just referenced, who says you only make a bracha achrona on the egg and the meat, but not on vegetables. So when this Mishnah says there are some things that don't get a bracha afterwards, it refers to vegetables. That could be the explanation according to that opinion. Rav Yitzchak also, that makes sense. Lafu ki maya. It would exclude water. Water would be the example of something which does not require a bracha afterwards. El Rapapa lafukemai. But according to Rapapa, who says you make a bracha achrona on everything, even water, what in the world does this mission refer to when it says that we sometimes don't make a bracha afterwards, only a bracha before? What can it be referring to? The Gemara answers, lafukem mitzvos. It comes to exclude mitzvos. Rashi says, mitzvos, meaning, ein nevarchin kishe misaklin tzilin. You don't make a bracha when you take off your tzilin, the tzitzis, or when you take off your tzitzis. You only make a bracha over lasiyasa before you start the bracha. You got it? Good.
Okay.
So that's the only time you make the bracha, before and afterwards. Typical situation mitzvos. Okay. So the Gemara then says, wait a second, it's interesting. But Levnei Ma'arava, according to the people in the West, where's that? Let's Zeret Yisrael, Bavel of the East. Levnei Ma'arava, about to the Misalke to fly, who when they went ahead and they put on their, and their, when they started, when they took off their tefillin, Mivarchi, they would make the bracha of Asher Kisham Mitzvos Mitzvanu, Lishmor Chukav, to protect your chok. Because we know the tefillin is considered the chok, and this is to protect, it's one of the signs and things of Hashem. So it is, to protect it, that's when you take off your tefillin because you're guarding it, keeping it safe after you take it off, you're not using it. So according to them, they make a bracha achrona even for tefillin. So what does this mission refer to? What is the thing that you don't make a bracha achrona on, only bracha shona? So my answer is lafuke recha. This is to exclude birchas harech. What's birchas harech? Like the summon. The summon, the birchas harech, is only something you make a bracha on before. Now the logic, they say, is actually very similar to the logic of eating. Because, for example, when you eat, okay, and you have the hana from eating, so that persists after the actual swallowing, and you can make a bracha achrona how long? Until the food is digested in your stomach, basically until you no longer feel it anymore. So when it comes to reach, the hana of reach ends, terminates immediately upon finishing the smell. You don't have a persistent hana after you no longer smell it. So therefore, the ability to make a bracha achrona also, they say, dissipates, it goes away. So there is no bracha achrona on reach. Now, this interesting idea that the B'nai Ma'arava went ahead and they made a bracha on their tefillin, Tosfos discusses this. The Tosfos on our page says, and this is based on a machlokas in the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos is talking about the Gemara, a pasuk, which says, it's a pasuk, which is, hold on, let me get the exact quote. It says in the pasuk, v'shamarta etachuka hazot lemoada miyamim yamima. Okay. You should guard this chok to its time from day to day. Okay. So what is that refer to? Now it happens to be, this is in Bashmos, this happens to be in the context of right before he mentions tefillin, and right afterwards he talks about the Pesach.
Oh, sweet.
So the Gemara there has this machlokes as to whether this pasuk is referring to tefillin. Okay, so therefore you should guard, and he says the B'nai Ma'arava hold of this pasuk is referring to tefillin. What is the drasha on this pasuk if it's talking about tefillin? It says, miyamim yamima. Therefore it says, yamim yamima. Yamima means day. Lafuke laila, to exclude night. Because laila is lav zman tefillin. The night is not a time to wear tefillin. So we don't wear tefillin at night. There's no mitzvah, according to that opinion, for wearing tefillin at night. It says, miyamim yamima. So miyamim, it says, from days, but not all days. Because there are some days where we don't wear tefillin, even during the day. What's that? Shabbos Yontif. So therefore, this pasuk, miyamim yamima, comes to tell us two halachos of tefillin, that you don't wear tefillin at night, and that you go ahead and you do not wear tefillin on some days of the year, like Shabbos and Yontif. So that being the case, his name Arava hold that they wore this tefillin all day long, up until the night. They simply took it off when the night came. And therefore, Tosfos says, when they took off this tefillin after wearing it all day, they made the bracha, lishmar chukav, to guard the Hashem's chuk, which is, v'shamru sachuka zosmi l'madami mimima, based on the pasuk. However, the other opinion in the Gemara Menachos says that this pasuk refers to the Pesach. They should guard and keep the Korban Pesach, the holiday Pesach, as hamukazos, the mo'ada, in its proper time, yamimimima, for every generation. This is not a one-time thing, but we're supposed to do the Korban Pesach every year. So that is the other opinion in the Gemara Menachos. And Tosa says, we follow that opinion. And therefore, we hold, Tosa says, on the page here, in the middle of Tosa, I'll read the line, he says, Anan Kaimalam, we hold Laila Zman Tzilanhu. That night is actually the time where you could wear tzilan. The mitzvah of the tzilan is day and night. Because if you hold the pasuk talking about the Korban Pesach, then Yomim Yamima is not coming to exclude anything about tefillin, and therefore the mitzvah of tefillin would apply by day and by night. So the question is, why don't we wear tefillin at night? So that is only because of the Gzer Derabanan, a rabbinic decree, that we do not go ahead and fall asleep in them, and we not pass gas in them. Because that would be beneath the cover of wearing tefillin. So at night, you should not go ahead and wear tefillin, based on that. But Tosa says, that's why we hold it all the time. And we don't wear tefillin all the time because we can't handle the high standards all day long and all night long of what is demanded of wearing tefillin. And therefore, we wear tefillin for like about 45 minutes when we wear Daven Shachas. I know I remember Shechter and others, I'm sure other tzaddikim and gedolim, they put their tefillin in the morning and they keep it on for a while they start learning in their morning seder. And they don't take it off right away after Daven. Again, if you can have the proper mindset and not be mesiach dad, not lose your focus on them and make sure they understand what you're wearing, then you can continue to wear tefillin for a long time. Except at night where there's a specific rabbinic decree. Okay? Now, the only reason I'm bringing up this interesting machlokas is that it was actually brought down because we technically hold that the whole day and night is a machlok, is a time of tefillin. It's brought down by Moshe Feinstein, the following tshuva. He was asked, apparently in the Tsarist Russia, the Jews were not able to wear tefillin because they were told, yeah, be at work. We want you in the fields, wherever it was, or the shop. at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we'll be done with you sometime in the middle of the night. And if and the only time they had free was before they go to work, that was before the sun rose. So could they put on tefillin? And could they make a bracha? And because Rav Moshe Feinstein says that the whole reason behind it, we hold that the tefillin really is a mitzvah even at night. So technically you could wear tefillin at night and fulfill the mitzvah. And he says the whole rabbinic decree is because you might fall asleep, you're tired at night. But he says that wouldn't by logic apply, that by logic applies at the beginning of the night where you haven't yet slept and you're tired. And if you might lose focus. But at the end of the night, meaning after you slept, and now you wake up early because you happen to have a job that requires you to wake up very early, he says in this unique circumstance where like a whole segment of the community will not be able to wear tefillin. And he thought how long it could be years that this could go on. Not like a one-time thing. Therefore, he said that you're allowed to put the tefillin on and even make a bracha on them. And he did. He would often want to make sure they made a bracha because otherwise they wouldn't take it seriously. Like if you sit in the sukkah, you know, if it's on Shmei Atzeres, so if you make a bracha, a lot of people don't take it seriously. But the idea is that he is based on this posos, Ramosha's psak, is based on this posos, that the time that we follow as appropriate for tefillin is all day and all night. The Bnei Ma'arava, they made the bracha after the tefillin because they held it was only during the day, and they took it off just before the nightfall. And therefore, this Mishnah, according to them, which says there's something we don't make a bracha achrona on, refers to the Birchas HaReach, where we said you don't make a bracha achrona because the hana departs immediately upon the finishing of the smell. Dissipates,
so
clearly.
By Ramosha's Jew, to those who, certainly up north,
In the Moshe of Sakh, I've looked at it inside, was a Shas Atchak for a large segment of the Klal Yisrael in a time circumstance that was beyond their control. Yeah. But what I mean is, I don't know how far to extend Moshe of Sakh. I know, for example, there are many minyan that do exist, that do come up before the time of wearing tefillin. This may even hear sometimes, the 6:15 minutes sometimes before. They say not to make a bracha until later on because they have the chance, because usually before the end of davening, before 7 o'clock, throughout the year, there will be a moment be able to say the brachas tefillin. But yeah, technically speaking, that is your way of Moshe Basman. And in technically speaking, that's the way we hold the halacha. Okay, let's continue. So Amr of Yanai, Amr Rav, Kol Shehu Kebetza, anything which is the size of an egg, basic type of mellow. The best, if you're going to eat something like an egg size, the most nutritious best thing you can have is an egg itself. Okay? The egg itself is the best egg sized item. He asked Rav and Amr Tava, Yasa mi gargalasa mishisa kaise sulta. Okay, greater is an egg which is like this lightly roasted from 6 measures of fine flour. Okay, so not just nowadays where carbs have gone out of favor and protein is in, but even now the protein of the egg is better than 6 measures of the fine flour. So he also said a similar line that egg is better than when it's lightly roasted from these 6 measures. Mi tavisa mi arba. If it is completely roasted, then it is as good as 4 measures of flour. Mi vushalta, if it's boiled, like a hard-boiled egg. Kol shehu kebesa. Anything, it's equal then to anything, it's as good as anything the size of an egg. But the best option, with it, even if it's boiled, like a hard-boiled egg, is beit mitzvah men is going to be the most nutritious thing. Libar mitzvah, except for meat, meat can pack more nutrition into one egg size than an egg. Okay, this is their logic.
Now, what's the point?
What was that?
What is the point of
You know, maybe let me do this. Let me step back for a second. It's a great question. I'd like to answer your question because we're about to get into a lot of Gemaras that simply talk about these interesting medical theories or ideas that Chazal has. And as we get into discussing it, we have to point out that these are not la halacha. These are not things that the Rabban talked about, which were a halacha. These were things that were based on simply the medical or natural sciences that they knew at the time, even somewhat superstitions, actually, because superstitions ruled very strongly in people's minds in those days. And therefore, they were simply relaying this information to us as well. Now, the question is why? So I think one idea that I'd like to share before we get into all of it is that what we see from the fact that we're going to spend significant time talking about all these medical practices of your health and what to eat and not to eat and how to make sure you're in good health is that Chazal were not only concerned about the Dalai Lama of Halacha, the specific laws and regulations that are specified in the Torah and the Rabbanim, but they even wanted to make sure that person lived a healthy life. And a healthy lifestyle is something that interests Chazal as well. Now, granted, they were basing on their healthy lifestyle, what they knew at the time, But the same is true for our time, that maintaining a healthy lifestyle and making sure that we are keeping to good practices as best as we can is something that is within the realm of our tradition and the realm that we have to pay attention to from being a good Jew, not just to forsake our bodies and to suffer whatever is in front of us, and notwithstanding what we're going to eat tonight, which is the mitzvah. But the idea is that we have to be careful. Some people might say, look, you know, why bother wasting a bittul Torah to start doing exercise? I'm wasting my time. I could learn. So first of all, that's really a high level. You're going to not even take a half-hour break. You're going to learn all the time. But the truth is, living a healthy lifestyle, again, there's no guarantees in life, but it does certainly help potentially to avoid certain conditions that are chronic and could cause a person later in life not to be able to learn or not to be able to do as much. So if living, again, there's no guarantees in health, we all know, fortunately, but there is a tradition that we are focusing on tonight, basically, which is to seek out the best medical advice and keep to a healthy lifestyle and a rigorous lifestyle. That's the idea. Yep, there we go. That is correct. That is the good pasuk to quote. Okay, that being said, let's continue. So we're up to the second line. Rabbi Kiva Omer, I feel achal shalach. So this is talking about Rabbi Kiva said in the Mishnah that even if a person eats vegetables, in his opinion, you make a bench. Brichas ha-mazon. Why? Because v'chalta v'satzi v'rachta. So if you fill yourself up even on vegetables. I don't know who fills himself up on vegetables alone, but if someone were to do so, Rabbi Kiva's opinion, we don't follow this, but Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that even make a birchas ha-mazon because it fulfills technically the achalta, v'savata, you've satiated yourself, v'achalta, you gotta make a benching. So the Gemara now comments in the following. Mika midei dehavi shalik mizone. How is it possible that someone is going to just eat vegetables? What vegetable is going to fill you up? Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, the kelf shakruv shanu. We're talking about the stalk of cabbage. Sorry?
What is potato?
Yeah, okay, I hear that. That's also correct. So even the green leafy ones are as well. Taner banan, tachol, yafa lishinayim, v'kasha v'nemiayim. Eating spleen is good for the teeth, but bad for the intestines. Kashin lishinayim, v'yafa l'v'nemiayim. On the other hand, the leeks are good for the teeth, and they're bad for the intestines. The opposite. Right. They're bad for the teeth, and they're yafim l'v'nemiayim. They're good for the intestines. The opposite of the spleen. The kol yerek chai. The Gemara is going to go through a number. We're quoting this brisa because we want to prove that the cabbage is satiating. So we're quoting this brisa, which has a number of different comments. Kol yerek chai, any raw vegetable, mori can cause a person's face to become pale. The kol katan, anything which is underdeveloped food, makin can make you underdeveloped, can make you small. B'chol nefesh, anything Rashi says which is the nefesh, which is already, Rashi says is zavr chai, something which was alive, hanechel shalim, which is eaten in its full state, like he says small fish, like, you know, sardines or anchovies, eat the whole entire thing, that is meshavas nefesh, it restores, because it's a whole nefesh, it restores your nefesh. B'chol karav nefesh, anything which is eaten the meat, which is eaten close to the nefesh, again, Rashi says if you eat it from the place where it's coming alive from, we'll see over the heart area or the neck where they shed the animal. If you eat meat from that area, also because it's connected to the nefesh, because it keeps it alive, the meshavas nefesh, if you eat it, it will restore your nefesh. Again, this sounds more on the level of superstition, but this is the idea. Kruv l'mazon, if you eat leeks, I'm sorry, not kruv, sorry, kruv is the cabbage. Cabbage is for satiation, which is the reason why we quote this brisa. Tradin l'refua, and beets are used for health. And the brisa says, oilo l'bayis, woe is the house, which I think it might refer to the stomach, the people eat it, that turnips pass through it. Okay, let's get to understanding each. So Gemara is going to now just dissect each of these statements in the Braisa. Amar Mar, so the spleen, it's got a problem. It's good for the teeth, bad for the intestines. So how are you going to eat it? How are you going to get the benefits without warding off the side effects, the negative side effects? So the answer is, go ahead and chew it up and spit it out. So therefore, you get the teeth benefits, but you don't get the stomach problems. Creation, kashin shinayim, the often b'nei. We said that the leeks they're bad for the teeth, but good for the intestines. So ma'itikante, how again can you benefit from it without getting the side effects? The answer is l'shtakinhu, cook it up so it's soft, and the v'linhu, and swallow it whole without chewing. Again, a way to avoid the side effects. Kol yerek chai morik, any raw vegetable will cause you to pale. We're talking about specifically the circumstance where you eat the raw vegetables in the first meal after bloodletting. So after letting blood, which was a medicinal type of thing they would do to take out the bad humors, eating the raw vegetables after that is a problem. Amar Yitzchak Kol HaOchel Yerek Kodem Arba Shos. Anyone who goes ahead and eats, and presumably, by the way, it's because after you lose so much blood, you need something like you need some sugar and some carbs. Having vegetables isn't going to accomplish that. So that's why you're going to pale. Kol HaOchel Yerek Kodem Arba Shos. If the person eats the vegetables before the fourth hour of the day, where Rashi points out most people haven't eaten yet, but this person is eating raw vegetables, so he eats vegetables. Also, L'saper Himeno, you can't talk with him. My time. What's the reason why? Mishum Recha. Now, Recha doesn't mean the bad breath. It's not a foul odor. But there is a pungent odor that comes from someone's mouth eating vegetables. And a person who's talking to him, the other person, who is on an empty stomach, that breath will be damaging. Okay. Harmful. But Amar Yitzchak, also L'adam Shiachol Yerak Chai Kodam Arba Shos, Rav Yitzchak also says that actually for the person himself who's eating the vegetables, the raw vegetables, eating them before the fourth hour is a problem. And the Gemara tells the story. Amemar Marzutra Rav Ashi, these three Amoraim, Yehaviyasi, Aisu L'kamayhu Yerak Chai. They were sitting until they brought before them to eat raw vegetables. Kodam Arba Shos, which is before the fourth hour of the morning. Amemar Rav Ashi Achol, two of the Amoraim, they ate. Marzutra le'achol, he didn't eat the vegetables. So Amrlei, the two of them said to him, to Marzutra, Ma'idatech, what's your logic? What's your reasoning? Is it the Amr of Yitzchak called ha'ochel ne'yerk kodem arba shos aser le'safer imenu mishum recha? Is it because you're concerned that you can't speak with someone who have eaten raw vegetables before the fourth hour of the day? That can't be your logic. Va'anan zika achlinu, we've eaten the raw vegetables, the kamishas the hadan, and you are talking to us. So we see you talking to us. It's obviously not because you're worried about the talking and the smell. So Amar Luhu, so Marzutra said to him, Ana ki idach Rav Yitzchak fairly. No, I hold like the other statements of Rav Yitzchak. The Amar Rav Yitzchak asur la adam shiachal yerakai kodem arba shos. He says that a person is not allowed to eat the raw vegetables before the fourth hour because it's damaging to him. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about that consideration. Kol katzimakin, the Bryce is also the same thing, which is underdeveloped, makes you small. So Amr Rechis, or stunts your growth or development. So Amr Rechista, that is Afilu Gedia Barzuza. Even if it's a small kid, right, that is underdeveloped, but Barzuza, it's like very expensive. It's all fat and, you know, like a nice quality, but it's underdeveloped. But that's going to cause a problem. It's not based on quality, it's based on it being underdeveloped. The La Marin Ella Delefe Riva'a, I think it's Riva'a, but instead of Riva'a, it's probably Riva'a, a quarter. That we're talking about where it hasn't yet reached a quarter of its development. Ava Isbe Riva'a, but if it has reached already at least a fourth of its development, meaning it's a quarter, to wherever the fully developed goat would be, so this is a kid, it's like less. So whatever stage is past one quarter, that's already enough developed to preclude any health problems. Then lace lumba, we're not concerned about it. The Bryce says, kol nefesh meshiv nefesh, anything which is of the soul, it can restore the soul. So Amr Papa, if you gildane begile, that even talks about this small little gildana fish, I guess they're found in the swamps by the reeds. Okay, this is, again, even these kind of fish, though they're also very healthy to eat. And to eat whole. Kol akarov l'nefesh meshiv nefesh, anything which is close, we said, to the life source of the animal, can restore your life source. The Amr Vacha Bar Yaakov, Unka, that refers to the meat of the throat. Now, I know we usually don't buy meat of the throat, but I thought maybe in some hot dogs. I got all sorts of garbage in
there.
Unka. Unka.
What does that mean, Unka?
The throat.
Oh.
I think it comes from the idea of the anak, the neck. I think it has to do with...
Why are you saying that you don't...
I don't know. We don't usually meet of the throat. Maybe the strap, the muscles here. I don't know.
So
what is this called? What is the, is there a muscle in the neck that is sold by an animal, by the cow separately?
What do you mean?
Okay.
People eat everything.
Okay, so lamb nectar would be fulfilling this idea. 100%.
So unka is the best part of the animal.
Yeah, yeah, because it's close to the life source, because that's from where the blood vessels are. Yishach. So in fact, the Gemara tells that story. Amar of Rava, the Shamei Rava said to his attendant, Kimaisis li umsa debisra, when you go bring me a piece of meat, tarch aisili mehecha de mekarv le beibarach. Go try to find me the piece of meat that is close to the beibarach, the place where they make the bracha on the shechita, meaning by the neck. That's he thought after that meat. Okay, continuing. That's what he would know. That's the best seed. That's the best. That has health, meaning it has health benefits to it. Okay. Karuv. So going back to our, going back to our leeks. Okay. Oh, no, it's cabbage. Sorry, this is going back to the cabbage. Karuv lamazon. Vitraz in lerfua, and the beets are for health. They're for medicine, medicinal purposes. So when it says, Karuv lamazon in lerfua lo, is it true that cabbage is only good for satiation, but it's not good for health benefits, not good for healing the sick. But Hatanya, we have the following device, which says, Shisha Devar Marpina Sachola Michalyo. There are six things which heal a sick person, and it's a really substantial healing medicine. The Elohen, and these are the six things, Krov, so we got our cabbage, Chaz and Beet, Mesisin. Mesisin are some liquid that comes from, I saw the translation was dry pennyroyal. Okay, pennyroyal. Have you given your cabinet dry pennyroyal? I don't know what that is. Pennyroyal.
What is it?
You ask me. I don't know. Ask Google. Okay, so it's another thing that's healthy. Dvash, take honey. Keva is the part of the stomach called the maw. Heres is the place of birth. That's the uterus or the womb. We come from Hirayon. And Yoseres Sakabe, that's the diaphragm. Okay, so those are the six things that have health medicinal benefits. So we see clearly from here that the cabbage is healthy. The Elaim Akruv Aflamazon. No, therefore what we mean is that when we say that the cabbage is satiating, it means it's also satiating. It's good for your health and satiating. Now the Brisa says Oilu Basha Lefis Averis Besocho. It's like not really good to have a house where you have this turnips going through it, or where you're eating it. Is that true that it's not good to eat turnips? Vahama Rava Lishame, Rava said to his attendant, Ki chaz is lifted b'shuk. If you ever find that they're selling turnips in the market, because, you know, remember, in those days, you didn't always have something in stock in terms of vegetables or fresh produce. So if you find it's available, lo tamili b'may krafta rifta. Don't ask me, like, what do you need as, like, a condiment for your bread today. Just assume I want it. Like, it's that good, so just always buy it. That could be bad. Samar baye, the answer is mibli basar. That's only true when you don't cook it with meat. If you cook the turnips with meat, the turnips are healthy. Rav Amar Bibliyayin, Rav says it's without wine, and Rashi says it means wine after. You drink wine after the turnips, you're fine. Itmar, Rav Amar Mibli Basar. Again, we have a repetition that's cooked with meat. Shmuel Amar Mibli Etzim. Shmuel says it's where you don't cook it, you have to cook it a lot. If you cook it only a little bit, then that's not helpful. But if you cook the beet, turnips a lot with the extra wood in your fire, that will be healthy. Rav Yochanan Amar Mibli Yayin, and he says you have to have it with wine afterwards. Amar Le Rav Rav Papa. Rav says to Rav Papa. So Dane, okay, so Dane are the beer, because, oh, sorry, Sodne Anan. We are beer brewers. So Tavrinan Le the Bistra V'chama. So we weaken our turnips with both meat and wine. Atun Delo Nafish L'chuchama, you guys don't have a lot of wine around. V'may Tavrisula. What do you sort of weaken the turnips that they're, healthy or edible? Yeah. So Amar Le Bitzive, we weaken it with wood, meaning we cook it extra long, extra well. Kihad de Bitaihu de Rapapa, like the wife Rapapa. Basar de Mivashla, after she cooked it Tavrala, she would kind of break it down. Timnan Ofe Parsaisa. They would eat wooden logs. That's how he would go ahead and he would cook, he would like weaken up the turnips. Taner Banan. Dag Katan, Maliach, if you have a small fish that's salted, Pa'amim Shehu Mamis. Is there a time that it could be deadly to eat it? When is that? The Shiva, on the seventh day after salting it. Okay, you have to keep track. The Shiva on the 17th day. The Esrim Shiva, and on the 27th day. 7/17/27. Those are the 3 days that are a problem. The Army Love, the Esrim Vishloshan, some say the 23rd day. I'm not sure why. Okay, Velo Amar and Ella, Vimitave Velo Mitmate. That's only true. It's only like partially roasted. Of a Mate Shapir, but if you really roast the fish well, at least somebody can have the salted fish on any day. Won't be any problem. V'dilomatzei shapir, and even if you didn't roast it well, lomar ela dilo shasa basrei shichra. We're only talking about where you didn't afterwards drink beer. Aval shasa basrei shichra, but if you drank beer after eating the salted fish, at least some, but even on any day after the salting, no health problem. Okay. Finished with the medical textbook. Just again, once again, disclaimer, we don't follow this. It's not even a chumrah to follow this. This is meant for their time, and you should continue to follow the prevailing medical advice in your day, which, as we know, even nowadays, continues to change. Okay, let's continue. Now, the Gemara here said, what? Oh, okay. Follow anything swallowed with beer, you're in the clear. Beer is in the clear. Okay. So, the Gemara says, if you drink water because you are thirsty, okay, then you make the bracha achron. Lafuke mai, what is that coming to exclude? So Amar, and you make a bracha rishona. So Amar of Idibar Abin says, lafuke leman dechankese umsa. That is to exclude someone who is choking on a bone and needs water just to push it down. Oh. So in that case, he's not drinking water to make first thirst, and therefore he would not make a bracha rishona. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, Tosfos actually says, look at the top, it's important halacha lemaisa. Because this comes up not only for when you're stuck with a bone in your throat, but what about when you're trying to swallow a pill? Another example where you're not drinking the water to quench your thirst. Okay? So, and you can imagine I'm not sure when else someone would be not thirsty and have water. The Mishnah Berurah like talked to someone who's like nervous, he's just drinking. Something like that. But
when you're eating something and kind of stuffed down, doesn't want to go down.
That would be Dechanki Umsa, same exact case, yeah. Eating just in general to accompany the food, like to help you chew it up and stuff, when it's not technically stuck, is considered to be part of the food satiating process, and therefore it's like when you're thirsty, because it's meant to help satiate you with the food. That definition Burr points out. But let's just read this toast. This toast is very important. It's the first toast on the page. It says, "V'dat gemayim, specifically this halacha that you don't make a bracha, is with water. Because what is water like? What benefit do you have from water? Simply, it's quenching of the thirst. That's it. It doesn't have any calories or anything else to it. If it quenches your thirst, because you're thirsty, you feel dried out, you feel dehydrated, it's perfect. Outside of that, it has no benefit. And therefore, there's no bracha to make on it. The hana, ki im l'shtos mayim l'samo. But hana d'chanki umsa ein z'nechshav hana. But the benefit, so to speak, that you get from pushing the bones down into the stomach, that's not a serious enough benefit that you make a bracha on the water for it. But Tosfos, this is an important line that I think we want to point out from Tosfos, of a shar mashkin, if you're drinking something else, shila olam haguf nanimihem, if you're using orange juice to push down the bone, then you make the bracha no matter what. No matter, even if you're just drinking it to swallow a pill, if you're drinking something which has benefits outside of simply taste, flavor, satiation, calories, right? Then that's something that you would go ahead and make a bracha on even afterwards. Now, filu, chankese umsa, and even if there's a bone stuck in your throat, you still make a bracha according to Tosfos on something that's not water. Do we follow this to halacha? Yes, this is called the halacha, that we follow this is specifically water by other things, Mishnah Berurah quotes, just like the Tosfos, that we would make a bracha rishon on it. Now, there is then Tosfos quotes the machlokas, the Chimer of Amram and Rabbeinu Moshe, as to whether this is specifically the bracha rishona or even the bracha achrona. If Amram says we don't make a bracha rishona and we don't make a bracha achrona, and Rabbeinu Moshe says Zelohi, that's not true. Hold the enu nana afilu la'achrona, since you're not making gang any hana from it, loy bracha, you'll make a bracha even afterwards. So one opinion is that you make a bracha achrona even when you're just drinking it for the pushing like a pill, and the other opinion says you don't. The halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says that we follow the opinion that says you don't make a bracha before and you do not make a bracha after. So if you're swallowing a pill with water, the halacha, you do not make a bracha before or afterwards. If, though, you're drinking something else, which does provide flavor, calories, hana'a, then even if you're drinking it just for the purposes of pushing something down, you do make a bracha. Now, if you're choking, I recommend you swallow and skip the bracha. But we're not talking about something where someone's needs a Heimlich. We're talking about not a medical emergency. We're talking about where you feel you feel something, is, as you mentioned, like you feel it's kind of caught in here. I just need to bring it down. Yeah.
Can you say the bracha after?
Yes, you would make the bracha before and the bracha after.
No, can you say the before bracha after you've already?
No.
Especially in that situation. No?
That you would not be able to. Again, if we're talking about an emergency situation where you cannot physically say the bracha because you're choking, or because time is of the essence, you feel like if I wait one more moment, this could end up in my trachea, and I can aspirate it.
Right.
In that case, you should not bother with the bracha. That's certainly it's like the refuah. You could. That's a good suggestion. You can make a bracha on the next drink, but it wouldn't be for the one that you drank already.
How come I always saw that, like when you're taking a pill or something, there's a question of what bracha do you make on the pill, and then you drink first, then you take the pill?
I'm not aware of brachas on pills. No, I don't think there's a bracha on pills. Unless the pill is like a gummy bear that you're eating it, has some kind of satiation. But if most pills are not for satiation, they taste horrible. So you don't make a bracha on this. Let's just finish up because we have to make the siyum. You would not make the bracha on the water, you would not make the bracha on the pill. Neither. Neither.
Oh. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, you don't make a bracha on the water. If you're just drinking the water to swallow the pill, you do not make a bracha on the water.
According to Tosfos, yes, you do.
No, according to Tosfos, you would not make a bracha. No, on other liquids, you would make a bracha. But on water, you would not. Yeah. So if you're using orange juice or apple juice to swallow a pill, you would make a bracha rishona and a bracha acharona. Okay. So let's continue to finish the last three lines of the parak. Amrle Rava bar Ravchanan Labayiv, Amrle Rav Yosef, Hilchas Amai, what's the halacha? What do we follow in this case? So, do we make, Ravtarfan Omer, Brain the Fashas Rabbis of Chasron. There's a debate, what bracha you make on the water? You make a shahakol, you make a Brain of Fashas? This was a suggestion for a bracha Rishona. Okay? So they asked, what's the halacha? What bracha do we make on the water? So Amrle, go check out in the world and see what the Bnei Yisrael have accepted upon himself as a custom. Rashi says, look at the first, the Rashi person in the line, the page. How people accustom themselves. V'kvar nahagu, and they've already accustomed themselves. Levarach v'tchila shahakol, levesof b'ray nefashas rabot. So chasranan akoma shavara. And therefore, the halacha that we follow is based on the accepted custom of Klai Yisrael. So sometimes we'll often see posts can say, when there's a question of what the halacha be, we'll go out and see what the Klai Yisrael is following. If Klai Yisrael is following a certain tradition, it must be that's the proper halacha. We follow what they have accepted upon themselves. Hajan, Allah, Ketzav, Nevarchim, Hajan, Halan. Okay, we'll continue, Mishnah, with the last. We have one more parak in the, just let me stop the recording here.